I love her. I love her very much. I've never had a feeling like
shut
this.
Shut up.
And speaking of love, weren't you and I going to talk about that today?
Yes, we were.
But, well, couldn't you manage to arrange your time so you could have a little fun, too?
Welcome to VomCom, the podcast about the romantic comedies that you love to hate.
And hate to love. I'm Kat.
And I'm Molly.
We'd like to acknowledge that the recording of this podcast takes place both in the region of Peel, which is part of the Treaty Lands and the territory of the Mississaugas of the Credit,
and Ottawa, which was built on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin Nation territory. Yeah, dude, you're resilient.
Wow. I can't be touched. No, don't say that. I have a bad back. I have a bad foot. I have carpal tunnel. So what Molly is referring to is I got my wisdom tooth popped out yesterday. I had my first surgery ever and my first ever stitches. So.
Oh my God. You had your first surgery cherry popped and your tooth popped at the same time.
Yeah.
Congratulitos.
Thank you so much. I feel like a whole new woman. I am 30 years old and one toothless.
That is, makes you sound like a crone. I love it.
Yeah, right?
One tooth down. So whack that you can't drink out of straws right now.
Yeah, I think technically it was only for the actual day that it happened, but he said 24 hours, so I'm just keeping it safe right now. But I just never realized how much I do drink out of straws when now I'm not allowed to. I know that's like the most kind of, I was gonna say white girl problem, even though I'm not white, but it seems
straws?
Like, yeah, it seems like not being able to drink out of a straw. It seems like a problem a like valley white girl would have, you know?
You don't know what you've got till it's strong.
But yeah, so I got my wisdom, one of my wisdom teeth out yesterday. Today I feel like pretty normal. I couldn't take the painkillers because ibuprofen makes me fucking barf.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I get mad acid reflux from Advil and ibuprofen, so please do not sponsor us. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to deal with the pain. And then, like, it's, like, been uncomfortable, but I'm not out of commission, you know? I sound normal. My face is not even that puffy.
Yeah.
I had a moment yesterday where I was like, do I just look not that puffy because I always have a puffy face? And Ian was like, no, it's not swollen. No. And I said, okay, thank you for that. Bye.
Yeah. That's why I say you're resilient, because you're just not, I mean, like, it didn't really, you took the hit and you just didn't even really go down. Like, you went back to work the next day, no painkillers.
Someone punched me.
Needed.
In the jaw. Pop out my other wisdom tooth. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go.
But anyways, I only have two on my bottom one, and they said that they'll do it one at a time so that one will heal and I can still kind of eat on the other side, which is true. Like, yesterday I had a lot of soft foods and a lot of ice cream, and today I ventured into a little bit. I had like samosas, and that didn't kill me. Didn't kill me. And then I just have to wait, I guess, a couple of weeks until I get the other one out, and then I have to go through all of this again.
At least they gave you the option.
Mm-hmm.
For me and Amy, they just said, let's raw dog it all in one go. We just... solid foods never met her. Pudding diet only. I had so many variations of pudding and oatmeal when I got my wisdom teeth out. Yeah.
I bought Farm Boy mashed potatoes, which needed salt. And I could only...
Surprising.
Yeah, yesterday the only thing I could eat were cold food. So I ate, like, soup cold. I ate everything basically cold.
Mm-hmm.
I had the mashed potatoes that were cold, and it was... That's sad. Because, like, they weren't good, super creamy mashed potatoes. They were stark white. Like, the color...
Okay, let me tell you...
Of paper.
Let me tell you how to do mashed potatoes.
Let me tell you something.
I learned
let
this
me tell
from
you
Amy.
Something.
I don't know... Look, listen, I know a thing or two about potatoes, okay? It's my heritage. Here's what you got to do. You mash your potatoes, okay? Add your whatever, seasoning, whatever. When they're still hot, just mashed, throw an egg in, uncooked, raw. stir that shit up. The heat from the potatoes cooks the egg. No salmonella necessary. And then you thinly slice some scallions or green onions. Throw those shits on top. Delicioso.
An egg.
Have you seen that girl on TikTok? Yeah, it makes it really creamy. But have you seen that girl on TikTok who can only eat like 4 things?
No, you told me about this.
One of them is like wheat germ or something.
You told me about this girl and I respectfully, I'm so sorry that that happens to you, ma'am. But I don't want to see it. I cannot even imagine a world when I can only eat 4 things.
And they're not even good things, dude.
That's what I mean. At least if they were good things, like, fine. But no.
I wish people could have seen the face that you just made.
So that's how I am. Molly, how are you? Are you missing any teeth?
Luckily, knock on wood, all my teeth are in my mouth where they're supposed to be, which is good. I have a dentist appointment coming up. Not that exciting. But I do really love my dental technician. Nice. Shout out to Dana. We're tight. Love her.
Shout out Dana.
Dana. Yeah, she's great. I had another horrific beauty maintenance appointment. If you guys missed it, I probably didn't talk about it because I was traumatized, but I had a terrible hair saga that happened to me a few weeks ago and then had it fixed by Kat's amazing hairstylist in Toronto. Yeah. Thank you for hooking me up. And then I thought to myself, oh my God, let me go get my nails done for Valentine's Day, you know, something cute. What can go wrong? And it was like one of those moments where you, like, you see this, the pastels? This is what I asked for.
Oh my God.
And I asked for like a little pastel, like lilac coffin nail with these little sparkles and stars that's like all over Pinterest. And I was like, can you make it look like this? She was like, yeah, no problem at all, I can do that. And like as she's doing it, it's like slowly and slowly I'm trying to tell myself to trust the process, but I can just see it, how it's coming together, that it ain't processing. And it's so I left and I said thank you very much and I tipped her and I did one single tear because I am incapable of telling anybody that I don't like the thing that they did to me. But the nails are definitely giving, not giving Ziggy Stardust, more so giving The Last of Us dead tissue gray zombie nails.
No,
they came out very stubby and very gray, so I'm sad, but I'm gonna, in the light of day, I'm gonna try and salvage it somehow.
So at the end of it all, I'm sad, but we don't have time to be sad about it.
Summary is sad girl hours do not start till 11 p.m so I've got to like compartmentalize that for now.
I'm so sorry that you continuously are getting bad treatments beauty-wise, because that's like the worst. You're like, okay, I'm gonna spend this money,
yeah,
so that I can look and feel pretty, and then they fucking fuck you over and you leave like, yep. I could have just rubbed dirt on my everything and it would have been better.
Literally. I was literally thinking to myself as I was leaving, I was like, I could have done better myself at home. I could have bought all the things that I needed for this and for the first time ever done my own nails and they would have come out better. So I am not signing up for any kind of like facials or anything right now because I can't take that risk.
Honestly, the solution is just move to Toronto and you will go to all of my people because I have no complaints.
Oh man, rats.
I know.
I have to move to Toronto.
Oh no.
To go be with my best friend. Damn. One day all of my best friends are going to be in the same city. I'm manifesting it.
Good. That's a dream.
Okay, Kat, what movie are we talking about today?
Ladies and germs, this week we will be talking about the 2010 film Valentine's Day. Why, Molly?
Why?
Because it's Valentine's Day next week. That's the reason why.
Oh, right. I didn't even notice that that day was coming up.
I love love.
Notice that. Didn't even accidentally buy like a super cute outfit to wear when we go out for dinner. Did you just say I love love?
Yeah, I said I love love. I think, okay, let me just do one quick piece of research. So this movie, like I said, came out in 2010. This movie came out at the time where these like big ensemble movies were on trend. Because I think it started with the movie He's Just Not That Into You, which came out in 2009.
When did Love Actually come out?
Oh, I forgot about Love Actually. Love Actually came out 2005. But Okay, that is true.
That's got to be the inciting incident.
It definitely has to be. However, did Love actually have as many stories as, like, Valentine's Day did?
It had a lot. That was, like, the whole thing. And everyone tried to emulate Love, actually. Okay, because there was the Prime Minister storyline. There was the Emma Thompson, Alan Rickman storyline. There was the
Alan Rickman the kid and his secretary.
Drummer. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the kid
there was the girl who was, like, who wanted to hook up with the super hot Italian dude, but she had to take care of her brother.
Yeah.
There was Keira Knightley and her husband, Keira Knightley's husband's best friend.
Yep.
So that's six. Am I missing any?
Oh, Colin, the singer
and his manager.
Oh.
Oh, that's, now we're up to eight.
The singer and his manager. The Martin Freeman and the other girl who was naked. So nine.
Okay, nine.
Okay, so then it was. It just didn't, this one for some reason felt like more.
Yeah, because it was written terribly.
Yes, that is why, because it was not as seamless. So this movie,
it just felt like it would never end.
This movie, besides, like, He's Just Not That Into You, which came out in 2009, feels like a response, not a response, feels like the American version of Love Actually. And it just, okay, you've never seen this movie before, right? Only me?
You mean Valentine's Day or... He's Not That Into You.
Valentine's Day.
I had never seen it before watching it for this episode.
Okay. So not that I loved this movie, but I like the, like, lots of storylines and how they kind of, like, overlapped and all that kind of stuff. And I think I watched it, I guess, the first time when it came out, and I was like, yeah, this is fine, you know? And then rewatching it, it really made me upset, like, recently. But then I was like, you know what? This is for the masses.
Yeah.
This is like literally you take your girl to go watch this movie. You take your girlfriends to go watch this movie to have, like, a nice, fun night where you get to watch hot people miscommunicate and do stupid shit, run through airports, buy flowers, like, just look pretty. You know, and have pretty people problems.
Shut your brain off.
Yeah, you just shut your brain off and you just look at the pretty people and you're like, great, I have a couple of laughs. Sure, I relate. There's got to be one fucking storyline that each person has to relate to, you know? We've all been in this position. And when I thought of it like that, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, fine. Not everything can be Banshees of Inisherin, you know? I say that specifically because that's my current obsession.
Okay.
if no one has watched that movie, please watch it. It is so good. It is so good. So beautiful. Ugh.
I haven't watched it yet because I'm skewed. Because
it's really funny.
So I've heard. I've been watching a lot of, like, heavier stuff lately, and I feel like I need to take a break from stuff that makes me think about it.
Yeah,
and just kind of. In that way, this movie was good for me to take a...
I was gonna say.
It was like a colonic for my brain, kind of taking in media.
Yeah. So that's exactly what this movie is made for. Like, you watch your Banshees of Inisherin, you cry your eyes out, or you watch something else, I don't know. Women Talking is another good movie, which I haven't seen, but is about a tough subject matter. Watch this after watching that. I'm gonna read you the log line.
Okay.
It is intertwining couples and singles in Los Angeles break up and make up based on the pressures and expectations of Valentine's Day. That's it.
That is a good synopsis.
Yeah, right? This movie was directed by Gary Marshall of Pretty Woman fame, The Princess Diaries 1 and 2.
Love. Yeah. Big fan.
We love Gary Marshall. I love Gary Marshall. I also hate Gary Marshall because, oh, you know what else he's done? He's done Never Been Kissed. He did.
Wow, he's like one of my favorites then.
Yeah.
A lot of
good ones. He did A League of Their Own.
Also a good one. Why do you hate him? What did he do?
It's not that I hate him, but there's a very particular Gary Marshall style that's like, again, it's just so for the masses and it's funny, it's quirky, but sometimes I'm like, okay, Gary. Okay, Gary.
You did sound like SpongeBob just now. Gary.
Gary. Okay, so New Year's Eve, that movie that was essentially Valentine's Day, almost the exact same cast, but with Zac Efron, and that happens on New Year's Eve. Georgia Rule, which is a movie I remember seeing, which has Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, and, I liked that one.
Yeah, so did I. Princess Diaries 2, Royal Engagement, which I will maintain is one of my absolute favorite movies. Raising Helen, The Princess Diaries, The Runaway Bride. The Other Sister, which I don't know anything about. Frankie and Johnny, Pretty Woman. He was, I think, a producer on Never Been Kissed, so not actually a director. But yeah, those were some of his major things. And then the person who wrote this movie is named Catherine Fugate. And she is also known for almost the exact same things as Gary Marshall.
I sense a trend.
Yeah, right?
I sense a Hollywood partnership.
New Year's Eve, written by her. Oh my god, The Prince and Me 2, Royal Wedding. Do you remember that Julia Stiles movie?
The Prince and Me, was it something about, where was the prince from? Why do I feel like he was like Indian or something?
Oh, are you thinking of The Little Princess?
Maybe.
This one is, remember Julia Stiles after...
Mm-hmm. Do I remember Julia Stiles?
I'm just double checking.
Grandmother of Harry Styles.
This is one of Julia Stiles' like rom-coms after she did Shall We Dance. What's the movie she fucking did?
Step Up. Didn't she Step Up?
No, that's Jenna something. Channing Tatum.
Save the Last Dance.
Save the Last Dance.
It's the one where she like is the artsy dancer and then she goes to the school and like does hip hop or something.
Yeah, and she dances.
A crossover queen.
She dances with the fucking chair. Yeah. That's Fusion. What she did. Anyways, so that's what this movie is. You cannot go into this movie being like, this is a seminal piece of theater. This is going to make, I'm going to have like so many think pieces of it. But here we are about to spend an hour thinking and talking about it.
If you go into this movie with the lowest expectations, you may still be disappointed is my take on it.
Okay, so since...
Because if there is a movie that is more inane and just... What is the word I'm looking for? Just kind of... flaccid.
Yeah.
This... I have not seen it. If that movie exists. This is the movie that I have disliked the most that we have watched for this show other than Last Christmas. Because at least the motivations and plot point in this movie were, you know, clear from the get-go. Because it was trope, trope, tropey, trope, trope.
Yeah.
Every character was a, you know... stock character, and it's good because you know film literacy, a lot of the time you want to use these stock characters and it's shorthand, it's great, you know, do what works.
Yeah,
but my god, there was the way I didn't feel any chemistry between anybody in this movie, and I love a lot of the people in this movie, don't get me wrong, especially like Ashton Kutcher and Jennifer Garner were ostensibly the leads in this movie, right?
Yeah,
you would say. They had probably the most screen time. Yeah. And I love them both individually. But together, I was not buying it. I wasn't seeing fireworks. And the only person I liked in this movie was George Lopez.
I like that George Lopez was in it. This is the thing I also have to say about this movie. I never realized how much like people of color caricature work was put into this movie. I don't know if it's pervasive in any of other Gary Marshall's movies, because I don't remember that much in The Princess Bride. No, sorry, not The Princess Bride. Sorry. Oh my god, haunting me. The Princess Diaries 1 and 2. What?
The Princess Diaries, the one thing that always, speaking of haunting, the one thing that haunts me from The Princess Diaries is that they have this, the principal of the school is Miss Gupta.
Yeah.
Right? And that name is South Asian.
Yeah.
Right? And Sandra Oh played that character.
Yeah.
Who is not South Asian. And I was like, that is a weird casting choice. And like, maybe they thought that white people wouldn't notice. And like, at the time, I guess they didn't. But that was a weird thing that I always stuck with me. And let me tell she you, says, in this movie, in Valentine's Day.
Is her name Gupta or is it Gupta? Because I heard her say Gupta. Is that then Asian? I don't know.
It was spelled, I looked it up one time, it's spelled G-U-P-T-A.
Which would be Gupta, but maybe there's just a different way to say Gupta. Anyways, please go on.
Could be. I got hung up on it, but In this movie, you have, like, Ashton Kutcher's character, who is arguably the protagonist of the film. He is a florist in L.A.
Ugh.
Who lives, like, the rom-com dream life of he's just a florist and he has, like, a house on the beach and, you know, gorgeous woman who he's dating, who he's going to get married to. And he's so, like, carefree and blah, 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 aside from the point. At first, when they introduced him, I was seeing that, like, all the characters he was interacting with were people of color. And I was like, oh, I trust this character because he's being nice to everybody, not just the white characters, which is something that seems obvious when you say it out loud. But just when you watch movies, if you notice it going forward, just notice it. But then he had me on his side until the other guy at the flower market. This guy, Simon Pham, this one character who they introduced just so they could have Ashton Kutcher come and talk over him to be like the white savior in the situation. And I was like, bro, you can't, like, I'm over it. I thought you had me going.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. You had me in the first half, but then you showed your true colors. That annoyed me. But side note, I would love if there was an enormous warehouse size flower market near me. Hello?
Yeah.
Does that only exist in LA? I love it. I want to go there.
So you normally like Ashton Kutcher?
I do normally like Ashton Kutcher. I think he has good comedic timing, and he is one of those people who's just so cute, handsome to me that I can overlook a lot of things. He's got the golden retriever energy in the best way. Like, there's nothing nefarious hiding behind it.
Yeah.
And I know this because I often conflate actors with their real life selves, and he, like, quit acting for a few years to exclusively do charity work for, like human trafficking victims. Yeah. And I was like, maybe this movie isn't so bad after all.
Yeah, exactly. When I started rewatching this movie, I was like, I'm always trying to decide if I like Ashton Kutcher. I think I want to dislike him because it just seems like it's easy to, but he always wins me over and I
gotta, you know, exactly.
Gotta give it to him.
I have goofy energy.
Yeah. So goofy. A goofy energy that I like and that is endearing and is not, off-putting. Like, he is nice to the people of color, but, like, definitely the people of color are scattered about in this film as ornaments, you know?
Yeah.
Ornamental people, which is rude to say. How did you feel about his storyline with Jessica Alba, who is the girl he proposes to at the, like, first 30 seconds of the movie?
I knew it was doomed from the start because when he went over to her side of the bed in the morning to propose and pulled back the covers, she had fallen asleep with her BlackBerry in her hand, which is a sign of a cardinal sin in rom-coms. And that sin is that she is obsessed with work, clearly. She's a career criminal, you know?
What even
she,
was
not,
her
not
job?
Actually, guys, sorry, that was misleading the way I said it, but she has some kind of corporate job that she's very obsessed with, and so much so that she really only cares about work, and she fell asleep with her phone in her hand. Mm. And for some reason, literally out loud when I was watching this, and I wrote it down because I was like, it's kind of funny. I was like, out loud, I went, oh, she's a bitch, as soon as I saw the phone in her hand. Because that's like, it's like code in rom-com world. If, like, a woman is obsessed with her job, she's a bitch.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's never going to work, honey. Sorry, Ashton. But let me tell you one thing. What I did like about his storyline is that a lot of the time, even when the actual romance wasn't serving what it was supposed to serve, he was serving.
Mm.
He was serving Valentine's Day red and pink kitsch cunt the entire time. He was looking like a little mid-century little Valentine's Day frilly card with a little kind of like airbrushed lamb on it. Yeah. His outfits were stunning. Loved it.
His little pink jacket that's his floral store uniform. Yeah, I feel the same way. I thought, I forgot that that's all the role that Jessica Alba played. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought it would be bigger, but literally he proposes to her. He goes off. Also, it's really refreshing to have a guy so revolutionary, to have a male character who, like, looks the way that he does, to be so, like, gung-ho about love and just be so excited about love and his job and what he likes to do. And, like, that's the dream, to have a romantic, like, very handsome florist be like, I just love love. Mm. And then the thing that he says at the end, which is so cute.
So brave and yet so controversial.
The thing that he says at the end when he's, like, really sad and he takes all of the flowers that nobody wants and he's...
Okay.
Yeah. He's snipping them. He's throwing them into the river near his house because he's sad. He's sad because... what happens is Jessica Alba leaves him. Literally, all it takes, he proposes to her. She says yes. She says, okay. And then he goes about his day. He tells literally everybody who has ears. And then he comes home to surprise her or, like, leave her a present or something. And he finds half her shit packed up. And she's, like, running away because she doesn't want to get married.
And she took the dog.
And the dog went with her. He was like, it's okay. At least I have my dog Carmine. And then he goes to pet the dog. Dog gets up, goes and stands with her. I'm like, this bitch? This blackberry clutching bitch? Anyways, I will never forgive Carmine for that.
Yeah. That was a real snake move, Carmine.
Yeah. So then he's sad the rest of the movie, even though he believes so much in love.
Yeah. And but, like, a lot of the time in this movie, he's walking around talking about, like, thank God it's Valentine's Day so I can talk about how much I love love and no one's going to read me for it. Implying that he just is like that every day and people are like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? But on Valentine's Day, he can get away with it. And the whole time I was like, oh my God, this dude is so corny. He's so fucking corny. But, like, I was like, I like his spirit, but the way he's, like, putting it on other people, I'm like, yikes.
Yeah.
But then at the end, when he takes the day-old flowers that no one wants and he goes down to the river and he, like, throws them in the river because his logic is instead of throwing them in the garbage, he throws them in the river so that maybe tomorrow someone will see them floating and, like, wonder where they came from and marvel at the mystery of it.
That's so beautiful.
And that part... that was, like, I fuck with that.
Yeah.
That is that very
hard.
Unique. I was like, I would love to see flowers. Some, when I do see flowers randomly, I do wonder where they came from. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That spoke to me. I love that he did that. That's the one thing that I love about this movie. And George Lopez.
Yeah. Like, it has small moments, which is... fine, that's why people keep coming back, but it's just like everything around it is just fodder. The other thing that he says in that scene at the end is that he used to put bouquets together to practice, like, different styles of bouquets, and then instead of just, like, throwing them away or tossing them in the river or whatever, he just, like, drops them off at someone's house and says, and writes a little note that's like, someone out there loves you. And, like, bro, if a guy who I thought was mildly cute and appealing, if a guy ever said that to me, I'd be like, this is game over. I have to dedicate my life to this man. That's insane to say that. That's so beautiful. Okay, so his storyline relates directly to Jennifer Garner's. I'm gonna call them by the actresses' names, like the actors' names, because I don't remember the fucking.
That's where we've got to.
I don't remember the fucking characters' names because there's 1,000 of them and they're not that relevant. Like, I know them, but I don't. No one cares. So Ashton Kutcher is best friends with Jennifer Garner, which is, like, a fine pairing in the sense of, like, they're both tall and white and pretty. And brunette. However, there's something about the matching of them which doesn't click.
Yeah, because they're too similar. It's like that Instagram account that may or may not still exist, the one that's like dating or siblings.
That still very much exists. Yeah. In case you were wondering.
Oh yeah. She's like him in a pointier font.
Yeah. Literally. Like, they could be siblings in a thing, but they're never in the same movie. Like, no one would ever put them as siblings because you can't have two very hot siblings.
Yeah. Unless it's Hollywood. Unless it's L.A.
A lot. So, her storyline, basically, we see her scene. She won all legs in this movie, Jennifer Garner. Only legs. Literally, she's that meme of from
Family Guy, yes,
where it's just legs and a face. And she's seeing this very hot Dr. Patrick Dempsey. And she's like, oh, the perfect man. I finally found a perfect man. And you're too perfect. And blah, blah, blah. And then we quickly find out that he's not the perfect man. He's the perfect married man.
Gong, gong, gong. Yeah.
And so then that's Patrick Dempsey's storyline. And that's Jennifer Garner's storyline. And she, God, is a teacher. How do you feel about their storyline, their little love thing? Do you think that they had chemistry? What do we think?
Ugh, dude, the way I didn't even care. Like, it was supposed to be the like, foundation of the movie, the backbone storyline, and, like, linking them all together. And I was like, I bought them as, like, lifelong friends, but just, it was so forced. It felt like they were trying to make it seem like it wasn't that they were just settling for each other, but it very much felt like they were just settling for each other for a happy ending.
Yeah.
They didn't even, like, even when they had their kiss at the end, they were like, oh, that was awkward. I was like, you guys aren't even trying to sell this in the script.
Yeah.
The way I just didn't even care at all. Like,
this is to be specific, Jennifer Garner and Ashton Kutcher. So, like, basically the whole thing is that they're both with other people at the beginning of this movie. They both end up unlucky in their relationships. She finds out that Patrick Dempsey is cheating on her. He gets dumped, fucking a ruined engagement. And at the end, they both kind of realize that they would rather be with each other the whole time, even though there was, like, barely any lead up to that. Because, you know, we love that. We love that.
Yeah, I think that was what got me was the fact that there was no lead up.
Yeah,
it was sheer. The fact was that they tried to cram so much into this movie.
Yeah,
which felt so long. It just kept dragging on. They tried to cram so much in that they didn't have time to show any actual, like, growth or bonding between those two characters. No. That's my opinion.
It was honestly terrible. Okay, let's just, like, go through. Let's go through, like, the couples and the interactions, and then you can say yay or nay. So, Ashton Kutcher, okay. Jessica Alba, nay, because we know it's doomed. Jennifer Garner, Ashton Kutcher, nay.
Nay.
Jennifer Garner, Patrick Dempsey.
I actually liked this storyline because it was salacious.
Yes.
Not because I thought that they were romantically compatible, because it was a setup, girl. You got conned. You got scammed.
Yeah.
And I was like, and that part played out well for me. I was shocked when he leaves her in the condo that she thinks is his house. And he's ostensibly flying to another city for, like, an open heart surgery, because that's what he does for a living. He's a doctor. But then you see him on the phone with her in the car. And he's like, oh, I'm just pulling into the airport. And then he doesn't pull into the airport. He pulls into the driveway of a palatial LA mansion. And then he gets out and he walks into the backyard to his beautiful wife and daughter in the backyard, who are just, like, chilling in the sunshine. And I was like,
yeah.
He was too good to be true. And then that was also, there was one line too, when he goes into the backyard and, like, he does a little ball throwing act in the air. And then his wife says, oh, honey, isn't your daddy so good at juggling? And I went, yeah. Jacked. What a good line. Girl, you don't even know how good he is. Very good.
If the whole movie was kind of just dedicated to Ashton Kutcher, Jennifer Garner, and Patrick Dempsey, something, that's a movie on its own. You know?
That's a whole movie.
That's a whole ass movie.
And then it would have been more gratifying if we had seen more of that on screen in the movie. It would have been more gratifying when Jennifer Garner gets her little sense of justice at the end.
Yeah.
When she pretends to be a server at the restaurant where Patrick Dempsey and his actual wife are having dinner on the night of Valentine's Day. She goes up to the table and reads him to filth.
Yeah.
But, like, subtly, so that his wife is just confused.
Yeah,
so and gives him back just the Valentine's gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been more gratifying if we had seen more, you know, of her heartbreak.
Exactly. So that's the thing with, like, a lot of these, I would have been like, okay, I could watch a whole movie about so many of them. I fucking just hated that even the small snippets of them were even included in this movie. It was terrible. Story about the little boy, Edison, he's the only character name I know, because I don't know that boy's actor boy's name, Edison, and then being in love with Jennifer Garner his teacher. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. The teacher. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The old couple.
Shirley MacLaine and Hector Elizondo.
Yeah.
I wanted to see more. The potential was there, but I guess it's because, you know what it is? A lot of the storylines, we see the action, but we don't see the reaction.
Yeah.
Of a lot of the, like, heartbreak or, you know, joy or distress, anything like that.
Yeah.
We just see the action. Like, we just see the things that are playing out, which is, like, there's no depth emotionally to it. So that's what I would have, I think I would have, I'd love to watch a whole movie just about their storyline too.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's just like, everything that you're saying, it's just not satisfying on its own. In the snippets.
But I'll tell you what is satisfying.
What?
What's the guy's name who plays McSteamy?
Oh, Eric Dane.
Eric Dane? This is how they introduce Eric Dane, okay? Shot number one. He's running topless on a beach. Shot number two, he's getting out of a shower with a towel wrapped around his low waist. Shot number three, he's putting on low-rise jeans slowly, still topless. Okay?
Yep.
This is Hollywood giving the audience what they want.
Yeah.
What they want and need.
Yeah.
I liked his inclusion, but that storyline, his love storyline, his entire storyline felt really weird too, because for one, his whole thing was like, for the whole duration of the movie, you think his crisis is, do I keep playing professional football or do I leave football and start a family? And it's like, first of all, 35 is absolutely too old for professional football. Yes, you should be retiring. Do you want to blow out every joint in your body, sir?
Yeah.
But then it turns out right at the end, we find out that, in fact, he's gay and his crisis was actually, do I come out of the closet?
Yeah.
But that is also unsatisfying because we don't know that he has a partner this whole time, played by Bradley Cooper, who just comes, they have like a reunion at the end, which is maybe 35 seconds long.
Yeah.
They don't give enough time to invest in the characters. They do try really hard to make you like Bradley Cooper while he's on the plane with Julia Roberts the whole time. They try really hard to make you like him. By being like, he's so like kind to this woman. He's so supportive of her, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't tell me anything about his relationship with Eric Dane.
No.
On the topic of like the whole conversation between Julia Roberts and Bradley Cooper, I thought her character was like very funny to me because they kind of paint her as this person who's like very observant. She could like tell a lot about him by like the minutia of his actions, and she was like, yeah, I can read people as part of my training. And it's like, she's in the army. It's like, homegirl, you're a captain in the army, not the fucking mentalist. Like, it's not part of your training to know that because he doesn't like heart-shaped lollipops that he has a problem with his relationships. Like, relax.
That's so funny. You're not the mentalist. Yeah, the only kind of like hints that Eric Dane is like longing for a relationship is that in that montage of him getting ready, he's brushing his teeth and then he looks longingly at another cup at the second sink with a toothbrush in it, and he's
like, "That's right."
Yeah, so he looks at that and you're like, "Okay, clearly it's like a
I miss my boyfriend."
He's like, it's a Tom Brady situation where he's like, it's football or a family. He's clearly like still trying to choose
football. And we all know how that ended.
And he's he's not choosing, I guess, his relationship with Bradley. And then the only thing that Bradley says is that I'm a newly single man, and that's it.
So generic phrasing on purpose.
So generic phrasing. And it's like, it's not like they're supposed to, like, he has to adopt a voice or anything, but it was just like, there was no, I guess that was the M. Night Shyamalan move, because I remember the first time I watched that, I was like, whoa, what a fucking twist, my guy.
That was the second biggest plot twist after finding out that McDreamy is married. McSteamy is homosexual.
Yeah. Also, one of the things I wrote down was that this movie came out in 2010. You can really see what the height of pop culture was at this time based off of who was in it and what was being referenced. So like literally McSteamy coming out of the shower, ripped straight from the pages of Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Dempsey being a doctor that cheats on his beautiful wife with a beautiful woman, also ripped from the pages of Grey's Anatomy. What else?
Shonda Rhimes was like out here suing copyright infringement.
She was emailing Catherine Fugate, be like, hey, I just saw your movie and I have some things to say.
Is this fucking play about us?
Okay, who's next? We talked about the kid. I like, sometimes it's cute when like a kid has a crush on an adult, because like sometimes it's sweet, and I think the way that she let him down at the end was kind of sweet. Mm-hmm. I just was so over this kid being like, I paid for flowers, you know, and he was a very like
Jennifer
serious
Garner
little kid, and, like,
exclusively in movies where she gets to flirt with minors.
Oh,
why did I say it like that? Like, gets to. It's like, it's creepy. It's creepy to me. What? And I know that she was like trying to do it in a nice way, but it still felt fucking weird.
It was just like, again, so inserted. And I don't know why this particular character, I felt weird about the kid being like mature and older, like seeming older than he was. I just like didn't like it this time around. I didn't love it. So I didn't love that. I hated the Emma Roberts and her boyfriend having sex for the first time at lunch.
Dude.
Thing. I hated it so much.
There was no feeling in that storyline whatsoever. They did not put any ounce of their butt into it.
Their romance were as flat as her fucking flats. As her fucking ballet flats.
Her Tory Burch ballet flats 2010. But girl, also I have another... The bones I have to pick with this movie. And you know what? I don't care what you say. Emma Roberts is a blonde. She's a blonde. That's her personality. That's her essence. Stop trying to make her brunette. I've had enough.
This is our second movie where she's been a brunette now.
And it's, you know what? I'm on my last nerve, because we all know that she's a blonde. She's just a blonde girly sometimes stuck in a brunette's body. And that's not her essence, you know?
I see what you're saying. I don't know if I necessarily agree. Sometimes I like when she has brunette hair. She's also another one where I'm like, bro, do I hate you? Because apparently she's not that nice from the things that I have.
I have heard a lot of things that she is.
So I've heard that. And I'm sailor. Like, this just kind of solidifies the feelings I had. But I have always kind of like tried to like her. And I think I did, or like I convinced myself that I did. And I just don't.
I just don't like it.
So hated Emma Roberts and her boyfriend storyline.
Hated it.
I also have no idea who that guy is. That actor?
No.
That boy?
I think he just was one of those actors that Hollywood pushes, but just never took off.
I think he was maybe in like one thing before and they're like, this is the next guy. And then he wasn't really. Sorry, boy. You seem sweet, but I just don't care.
He kind of looked like one of the kids from Big Time Rush. Was he in that show? Or was that a different floppy brown-haired boy?
It's probably a different one. I literally have no idea.
You have some idea. Amy, I love that show.
But that's all I know. I don't know. I've never watched the show. I have no idea what
it's about. It's a fun watch. You should, you know, if you ever have like a day where you're sick or you're like cleaning or something and you need to put something on in the background, put on Big Time Rush, because there's only like one or two seasons and they're Disney like shows. So like 20 minute long episodes. It's like, it's an easy watch and it's lighthearted. It's very goofy. Goofy and silly. God.
These are like fully adult men. Also, okay, my favorite thing about the Eric Dane thing was that he was supposed to be 35.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if my view of what a 35-year-old looks like, but men I know, I'm 30 now. Even if I know a man who's 35, they do not look like that.
Oh, no. That man was in his 40s for sure. For sure.
When they said 35, I said, Sean Jackson? Eric Dane? That's silly. My number one hate for this movie is the
you could choose one
is the two Taylors.
Oh God, you're right. I think I blacked them out.
Yeah, because
they sucked so much.
Fucking awful. You know what's so funny is that Taylor Lautner did not suck, I could have kept him. I would keep him. He did the best that he could.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
I wanted to burn my eyes out. Not even take them out. I wanted to throw acid into them.
It was giving high school stage play.
High stool. It definitely high stool. Yeah.
You know what sucks is that, like, you see her now. She was in, I watched Amsterdam, and she was in it. She's got chops now. Like, she's good at acting now. She's not, like, going to win an Oscar, but this was not her best work.
I think this is one of the first things that she was in. And, like, listen, I understand, Taylor. I'm not holding it against 18 or whatever year old you. I really am not. I just hated that adults allowed you to do that and that they put it into a film where fucking like Julia Roberts is in, bro. If I was Taylor Swift, I'd be like, please don't add me. Please keep me away from set, you know?
It's a clusterfuck, this movie. It's like, it looks like an invite list for like the 2010 Teen Choice Awards.
It was full of, like, the people Gary Marshall always has in his movies. So, like, a Julia Roberts and Anne Hathaway. And then all of the other...
Oh, my God, external... I fucking forgot the Anne Hathaway. Every time you mention someone, I'm like, oh, yeah, there was that storyline, too. I actually liked that one maybe the best out of the romances.
Really?
Yeah, because they... Because
you're 20? Sorry. Yeah.
I like that one the best because... First of all, you cannot give Anne Hathaway a script that she can flub. She turns it out every time.
Yeah.
She makes me want to cut my hair every time. And, like, it's like Topher Grace. Okay, what they did was they just took the exact, basically the exact plot line from Love and Other Drugs and superimposed it into this. They took her exact character down to, like, the Polaroid camera and, like, the quirky girl, like, side hustle. Like, down everything is the same character as her character from Love and Other Drugs. But they had the most, I think it was the most natural acting style out of everyone. Like, they weren't trying to do over the top. They were giving it in a way that was, like, that felt more, slightly more gritty because it was a little more realistic. And it was also, like... You got to see, like, for me, that was the most behind the scenes. You could see the most of the, like, emotional growth that happened between these two characters. And part of what made it easy to buy was the fact that they had only been dating for 2 weeks. So they didn't really know each other. You don't know their characters, but they don't even know each other's characters, you know?
Yeah.
So that one, I actually liked it the best, and I liked the resolution of their storyline, too. Also, Topher Grace was shredded in 2010. Ugh, damn.
I love Topher Grace.
Weirdly, me too.
He's like him.
He's in the same category as, like, the Quaid, the young, Quaid the Younger, who was in The Jack Boys Quaid. There. Jack Quaid. Him and Topher Grace have, like, the same acting style, and I vibe.
Like, he would be a very, like, handsome, yeah, but, like, grew up, because he was, like, a skinny little dude, so he grew up, like, not maybe being, like, ladies' first choice, but, like, he's always been such a nice guy, and then he's, like, has female friends, and then all of a sudden gets shredded, just, like, starts eating well and starts working out, and then gets shredded, and then everyone's like, what the fuck?
That's this ugly dorkling.
It turned into a beautiful swan. anyways, he's shredded in this. I didn't dislike it. She was so like, I know that it was 2 weeks, but she was so openly like, earnest in the way. One point she was like, oh, last night. I was like, ew. Stop.
That's, I just wanted that's you the to thing be that, like, yeah. No one says that.
No. No one goes,
oh, only people so in movies dreamily. Say it to be like, we can't show a raging sex scene, so we'll just imply it by having one of the characters go eyebrow wiggle wiggle, you know?
Yeah. Oh, whoa. Last night, I can't even physically say the words, but whoa, wow. Oh my god. I hate when like characters in any kind of movies go, I was a gymnast. Like, ew. There's something about that I really don't like.
Because of the sexual implications?
It's not even because of the sexual implications. I'm just like,
you just don't like gymnasts.
Yeah. You're like, here I am.
Anti-dance mom,
anti like, I think it's just anytime I hear people are like, oh, she's super bendy, or yeah, she used to be a former gymnast, and I'm like, what do you want to do?
Yeah, I heard she has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Oh, that's hot.
She's double jointed, my guy.
Yo, get her ready. Connective tissues are fucked. It's on.
She has early onset arthritis, my dude.
Yo, yeah, you're actually right. It's like, what do you want to do? Like, fold her in half and mail her in like an envelope? What the fuck? Like, why? Like
why do you have for planned? What? Why does she need to be so, so fucking bendy? And it's just like, you can achieve the same things. I'm just like, to me, it's impractical. It's all for show, and I don't like
it. It's overkill.
Stop it. You don't stretch. It's performative. It's risking your body. I don't like it. It's just also, it's so creepy, and I just don't like it for some reason.
Ladies, you don't have to be a gymnast.
Yeah, ladies, don't let your man pressure you into being a gymnast so you can be extra bendy or like yoga. I just like don't like it. They're like, oh, it's extra bendy, so why can't you be bendy, huh?
Yeah,
equality, bitches.
Equal rights. Women's Day is coming up. Make men in your life be gymnasts.
So
there's a lot of men who do not have the flexibility that they should out there, man. If you are under the age of 40 and you can't touch your toes, we need to talk. That's an aside, though.
You guys cramp because you don't stretch.
Yeah, what is up with that? They just don't be stretching after workouts or before. Do both.
You got tight ass hamstrings, and like, speaking from a person who has tight ass hamstrings, I know. Mm. I was gonna say I'm tight everywhere, only because I'm full of knots.
Tweet.
I'm tweet. I keep it tight because of stress. Okay, I've been trying to say that I didn't dislike their storyline. It's just it felt like one. Yes, Anne Hathaway will. If you give her anything, she will eat it up. I was never on the hate Anne Hathaway train that happened a couple of years ago, just because she was in Les Mis and she was very like earnest and genuine and all that kind of stuff. And people were like, oh, shut up already. And I'm like, how dare you?
You know what I think it was with Les Mis? She shaved her head and people got freaked out by her shaved head paired with the big ass eyes. It was giving like Schmeagol, I think. And people were unsettled by that.
Don't say that. It was giving Schmeagol core. Oh my god. Okay.
Desolate cave dweller core.
Yeah, so like Anne Hathaway's gonna make a meal. I just think that like they gave her this role because it was so unlike anything she had done, where she had done like Princess Diaries and all that stuff, and then all of a sudden she's like a sex worker, you know, and then she's doing all these voices, and like, oh, how weird and crazy it is to be seeing her doing this. And then, like, Topher Grace's actual character, like, not much to him except he seems okay and sweet sometimes, but he's just very jarred by things. Bro, you moved out to LA and you got shredded. Like, what do you think is gonna happen? You're like, I'm a simple Indiana boy. Since when?
Especially in this day and age.
Yeah, especially in the 2010s.
You know, with the rise of, I just feel like more people are... There's so many more, like, this is gonna be weird to say, but like, is it weird to say there's more sex workers, at least openly talking about it, because of like OnlyFans and stuff like that? It's like, if you live in LA and you're dating now, hot girls, like, oh, sorry, but you're probably gonna run into some sex workers. I don't know, I feel like it's numbers game, but anyways, that's not the point. This was in 2010, pre-OF.
Pre-OF. I didn't hate their dynamic and their storyline. It worked for the most part. Would I also watch an entire movie based off of just them? Yes, I would. Who else? Who else have we not spoken about?
Jessica, who was married to the Timberlake. Beale.
Yes. Who was married? Are they not married anymore?
I thought they were divorced, but I might be wrong. I can't keep up. But she had a storyline where she is the
neurotic.
I guess she's like the what do you call it? PR person for Sean.
What's his Jackson.
Name? Sean Jackson, aka Eric Dane.
Yeah,
Eric Dane. So she is his high-strung, high-stress PR agent. And she is trying to deal with the crisis of him becoming a free agent in football and also being single on Valentine's Day, because apparently this is a very big point of contention for her. She throws every year an I Hate Valentine's Day party and invites all of her single friends to come and commiserate with her. And during the day, she like runs into Jamie Foxx's character, who is a news anchor, a sports news anchor, and he wants to get a scoop with McSteamy in his career move. So she invites him to this like press conference and then gives him the opportunity to ask a question, and that gives him, so like he gets the scoop on that whole story. And then that's good for his career. And he ends up going to, they have like a flirtatious moment that seemed a bit forced because they didn't really have any chemistry before she literally fell on his lap covered in chocolate for some reason. Because she was having a female hysteria moment. Total breakdown about being single on Valentine's Day and going to be single forever. And thank God her BlackBerry vibrates and she's obsessed with candies and she just can't stop eating candy. And I was like, girl, you need to take a breath. So he ends up going to her I Hate Valentine's Day party. They bond. I actually like the scene at the I Hate Valentine's Day party when they're like a bunch of people show up who said they actually weren't coming but actually end up coming. And then they're around the piano like singing and doing like a little sing-along. I thought that was a cute little scene. But like you see them like bonding a little bit and then like it's implied that they're going to like get together at the end of the movie. I like Jamie Foxx in this. He was good. I thought he was funny.
Yeah, I just, like, I don't know. I feel like when they didn't give him enough to do, so then he just went into his, like, bag of tricks, you know? Where I'm just like,
But that also is when he's at his best, is when you just let him be funny. Mm. Like, let him kind of do his own thing. He's very, I don't know, he's very likable in that way. I think that actually was, like, a strength of this movie, is that they let him do that. Just, you know.
Yeah, good point.
Sing and be handsome and funny.
I think that they underutilized both of them, though. I think that they could have had a better kind of interaction or better storyline, which was kind of condensed because there were other characters who are apparently more important, which I disagree with. Because, like, just because there wasn't enough and then they didn't flirt that much and, like, they didn't flirt enough to then justify. Because they're one of the few couples who we actually get to see, like, kiss and have a quote-unquote happy ending, you know, at the end. And just that's how I feel about that.
What was Queen Latifah's character's name?
I sort of the know. I literally don't know,
because she had one of the best
Bean lines Latifah.
She's like
that would be me.
You're just like, I can't keep it in. Bean Latifah. I know her name starts with a B because she made the joke. She was like, they call me like Bipolar Betty, but don't call me that. But you should know I am in crisis. That was my favorite line. But you should know I am in crisis. That was so funny.
She was such a good part in this movie.
I think her part was like, she didn't really have like a super like involved storyline. I think that's what made her part work. They didn't try and, like, force extra shit in her storyline. She came in. She was funny. She joined together some of the storylines. And then she had her little gag at the end with the phone sex thing.
Yeah. So honorable mention, Queen Latifah. Who else? Did we cover all the couples? I think we did.
Yeah.
This was honestly, like, such a classic Gary Marshall movie. Like, it had his daughter, who was also in Princess Diaries. Like, any of the movies that he does, he puts his daughter in. You know the woman, Nikki, who works at the flower shop? She kept taking children off of the counter. That's Gary Marshall's daughter.
Oh, nice.
Nice. That's why she's in every one of his like movies, because that's his daughter. He that's also the
family Gary business.
Marshall, yeah, Gary Marshall also likes to like make little cameos. I believe he was one of the guys who were coming into Anne Hathaway's apartment when Topher Grace apologized to her.
The mariachi band?
They were. I thought they were mariachi, but they're not, because they're not wearing any of the things and they're not with any of the instruments. But it was like three white guys.
I just
saw
four dudes dressed up and I assumed it was. I just didn't even look closer.
But I saw today they were all just like in black suits. He was the middle guy in the suit. He was. Oh. That was Gary Marshall. Old, sweet white man. And then it was just like a staple that I know is in Gary Marshall's movies is like side characters having lines. Mm-hmm. That like are not important to the plot. They're just there to make people laugh.
Yes.
And also like lots of reaction shots from side characters. So in that scene where Jennifer Garner is giving Patrick Dempsey his like comeuppance or whatever, she's talking about the chef cutting off the pig's balls and mincing them very small, and then you just see this table of old ass people just whip around. And like a shot that's staying on them for too long and then goes back to them or goes to another table of old people also whipping around being all like, is that on the menu? Or no, what he said was because she gave Patrick Dempsey back the little toy heart that he gave her for Valentine's Day. And when she pulls it out and puts it on the table, the old guy was like, oh, did we get a toy? Like to his wife.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'll have what she's having.
Yeah, it was that kind of moment, and like that's a very Gary Marshall thing to do, and like all of the little moments of other characters saying things around the main characters that just don't involve the plot, but it's just, again, like I said, fodder. That's a very Gary Marshall thing to do, and like I like it, but it was funnier when I was a kid. Now I'm like, oh, you Gary, you silly goose. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's just like fun. Everything I've ever seen, and the reason why I know so much about this is because, again, I was obsessed with Princess Diaries 2. I watched all of the behind the scenes.
As one does.
I heard them talk about the way that he, like, what's it called? Handles his sets and like the energy that he brings and just the kind of guy that he is. He just is there to have fun and he'll let you do anything and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I love that. So even though that's why I love him, and that's also why I hate him, because like some of the things are so silly and I would never do them, but if I had a chance, because he's not with us anymore, if I ever had the chance to be like, he'd be like, oh, Catherine, come be in a movie, I'd be like, 1000%, I will 100% be in a Gary Marshall movie, because they're just like, they just are fun and you get what you get and that's it.
I like it.
What were some of the things that you really, really liked? Because we talked about the things that you hated. What are some things that you liked and wanted to call out that you haven't yet?
Kathy Bates. Little, short, small role.
I love Kathy Bates.
I need happy. I need romantic. I need love. And I need it from you. And then Jamie Foxx says, you need Jesus. I love that little. It was just like classic, no-nonsense boss and like goofy employee. Now get it together, like Jamie Foxx.
Get it together, Jamie Foxx. I'm sending you out here, you see? It's a slow sports day, so you're going to have to go do this.
His girl Friday. She his girl Friday'd him.
Yeah, I like her. Who else was in it? The guy from Criminal Minds was in it very briefly.
Oh, yeah. He one of those, hey, I'm driving here moments. But yeah.
Yeah.
Use your signal. That was like supposed to be a cameo, right?
Yeah. You know who we never found out? So there's a voice at the beginning and at the end of the movie, which is like a radio host, like a late night radio host kind of guy, the smooth talker.
Midnight Manny or Sly Sal or something like that.
We never found out who that it was. And I guess that's just out there in the ether. But normally we like cut to someone who is playing that, but I guess not.
Yeah. Yeah. The Angel of LA. We needed to see who was this Or they'll, like, use it as, like, kind of, like, an omnipotent kind of, like, observer. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite line?
Yes. My favorite line was when Eric Dane drives into the back of the flower truck by accident and then has this little conversation with George Lopez character, and then they're just like kibitzing, and George Lopez is like pretending like he's gonna sue him for like whiplash and stuff like that. He's like, ah, no, just kidding, because he finds out who he is. And he goes, and he's like giving Sean life advice. And then he goes, you're a superstar, Sean. He's like, all right, see you later. You're a superstar, Sean. Drive better. How about you? Do you have a favorite line?
I have a favorite line. It's not really like funny. It's actually kind of one of the sadder lines and one of the sadder moments. It was it was when Shirley MacLaine told Hector, her husband of many years, that she actually had an affair like a couple of years ago, and like this was the first time he was hearing about it, and she says to him, "I wanted to tell you the truth," and he says, "Unfortunately, the truth makes everything else seem like a lie." I was like, "Whoa,
goosebumps!"
Right. And just like because Hector Elizondo, he's just a really good actor, and he delivered it with so much pain and
he's sadness. So gravitas. Yeah.
So sweet. Yeah, I really like that line. And then the thing that Ashton Kutcher says at the end about the flowers, justifying throwing the flowers in the river. I really like that. One thing that we didn't mention, so there was like a thing where a fake out where we thought Bradley Cooper was going to get with Julia Roberts, because the whole time they're sitting together on this flight, he's very sweet to her. She's like kind of put off by him because she thinks that he's flirting with her, and she's essentially flying 14 hours to LA and then leaving tomorrow 14 hours the same way back. And he's like, wow, this must be a really special guy. And I told Molly while we were talking before recording that I cried at the end of this movie for some reason. And the reason why I cried was the little kid who was in love with Jennifer Garner's character, her student, his mom ends up being Julia Roberts. And like the whole time Bradley Cooper's alluding to the person that Julia Roberts is going to come see for just a night. It must be some lucky man, like very deserving or whatever. And then we find out in one of the last scenes that she's coming to see him, and that's his mom. And the reason why I started crying was because when she like goes to see him when he's about to fall asleep, he turns around and he goes, "Mommy," and hugs her. And then she's just like clutching onto him, and she's like, "Oh, you're so big." And I'm like, that? I was like, no. I just against my will, I just started crying.
Yeah. Because they were hinting that his mom had died the whole movie, too.
Yeah,
that was, like, the added thing. It was like, oh, my God. Like, yo, what was this? George, what's his name? Shyamalan?
Oh, M. Night Shyamalan?
George Night Shyamalan. Night of the Living George. So many plot twists. About? It's spooky. I'm saying that there's just a lot of plot twists in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, there is. So, like, I really like that. And then Bradley Cooper, we see him go see Eric Dane. I liked their brief moment of like where Eric Dane's like, "Oh, you saw." And then Bradley Cooper's just stroking his face. And I'm like, I would see these two dudes fuck. 1,000%. I would love to.
That's a different genre.
That is a different genre, but I want it.
Representation.
Molly, do you have a unique rating for this movie that you hate?
I do. I'm going to give it 1.5 heart-shaped piñatas out of 10.
Wow. 1.5? Damn. I don't think either of us have given anything that low before.
I'm feeling very boss bitch brutal with my ratings lately. I'm not giving anything away, you know? No freebies on this rating scale. No, sir. Not in this house. How about you?
Damn, not in this economy. Me? Did you say beat up a heart piñatas?
Mm-hmm.
I will give it 3.5 ornate orchids in a silver box out of 10.
I like it.
I was going to say 4, but I think that's too much. I got inspired by you saying you're not giving out freebies. And I like it enough where, sure, I'll watch it, but it's been years in between my watching of it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll be like, oh, yeah, that movie. And then I'll rewatch it and I go, that's it. That's enough. I'm good for the next 7 years. Goodbye.
I'm going to be real with you. You would have to pay me to watch this again. Some kind of enticement would be necessary. Dinner, some chocolates, something. I wouldn't do this again willingly.
I literally do not blame you. I fully, having watched it, do not blame you. It is, it doesn't, like, I feel like you went in to this movie with one level of information in your brain, like, at the top, and then you left with almost the exact same, like, having learned and gained nothing.
Yes. Net zero. Net zero benefit from this movie. But let me tell you, that this is what makes me glad that the next movie that we're going to be doing, which I'm not going to tell you what it is, audience, it's a really good one that we both love. And it will be getting, no doubt, glowing reviews. I'm very excited.
Glowing. We just wanted to do a fun holiday one because it's mm-hmm. a Valentine's Day. And why do yeah. any good movies for Valentine's Day?
For the culture.
Because Valentine's Day, yeah. Valentine's Day is a cheesy corporate? Capitalist holiday at this point, you know?
Mm-mm-mm. Which I will buy into wholeheartedly every year. I love it. There's nothing better than the kitschy Valentine's aesthetic. I love it.
I've only started to buy into it, or just like I was very much Jessica Biel's character for a long time, where I was like, ugh, everybody who just like, who's just barfing their love all over the place, like disgusting, gross. I'm still not at like the Ashton Kutcher level, but I do love Mm-mm. love. However much I'm like, ew, I do love love.
I do also love love. And I tell you what I love even more? A theme.
Yeah. You do be loving a theme.
You got me on two counts, Valentine's Day.
Okay. You can find me on any social media at It's Catherine Ram. Literally on any social media. It's great. I don't have to change it. And then you can find the podcast at VomCom Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. Molly, where can the people find you?
You all can find me at Molly's Outbox on Instagram and TikTok.
Yay!
And LinkedIn.
Oh, and LinkedIn! Not the LinkedIn!
Please don't look me up on LinkedIn, guys. Just spare
you know, it's very funny. I had to give my prescription for my meds to the pharmacist, and they couldn't find the doctor's name. Like, for some reason, they couldn't find the doctor's name. I had to Google him, and I clicked his LinkedIn profile, and I showed it to the pharmacist. Like, this is who gave it to me. And I recommend to never look up your doctors, whether it's your dentist or your doctor. Never look them up on LinkedIn or on the internet, really. Like, any of their social media pages, like, don't
what
do it.
Happened? Oh my God.
Just because, like, the photo that they put of themselves is like, I don't want that professional in my mouth, you know?
Yeah, okay. I thought something bad happened.
No, nothing bad happened. Also, it was very funny. After he was done with the surgery, he, like, took the tooth back from, like, the dental assistant, put it on the tray with the tools. And while I was still in the chair, I saw him, like, rearranging it. I was like, is this man about to take an Instagram photo? And he looked up, saw me looking. He went, for my Instagram! And then takes a photo.
Of the extracted tooth?
Of the extracted tooth. But, like, that's his business. Oh, I was just like, what a time.
Dude, this is rocked me to my core. Because... Okay, I have a lot to think about right now.
Okay, we're going to sign off. Molly and I will talk a little bit more. Goodbye, everybody. I'm sure no one wants to hear this story. Bye.
Farewell. Good night.
I am fond of you, you know.
And a girl.
I don't wish you weren't such a stinker.